You're listening to a message from Pastor Jack Holt at The River.
This morning I'm ministering to you on the topic, moving past what holds you back. And what we're going to be talking about is almost like passing cars on the freeway. You ever get stuck behind somebody and want to get around them? Spiritually, sometimes we get stuck. And there's certain things in our lives that come from the way that we were programmed before we met Jesus. Or sometimes it's religious programming that holds you back from really what God wants you to have in your life. And unless you learn those things, you're not going to be able to move around and get to the blessing that God wants for you. To give you an example, Paul had to get past self-righteousness just to get saved. David had to get past the fact that he was a shepherd to become a king of Israel. And then you take the story of Zechariah. He had to get past the fact that he was insecure before he could build a temple. And you take Abraham. He had to get past the fact that he was 100 years old. And it wasn't too late for him to have the promises. Or Jeremiah, who had to get past the fact that he was a young man and God was asking him to do something that most people would require someone older, more seasoned. And so I don't know what it is in your life that you need to get past, but we're going to talk about some things, real personal things, that I believe as you begin to see this in your walk, it's going to bring you closer in your marriage, going to bring closer in the vision and dream that God has for you. And I want to start with a story, and you'll find this in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, and it's about Peter. It's when Peter was first called to the ministry. And I want you to notice that in this whole discussion, what God does is he gives Peter a revelation. He reveals things to him that stop him from depending on the old way of thinking. And that's what we intend to do this morning, is get you to a place where the things that are holding you up, you can break those the power of those things and go for the things that God has called you to do. So let's look at the story. It says this, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the nets. And when he had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and the net was breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled the both boats so that they both began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down to Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. And he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish which they had taken. And so also James and John, the son of Zebedee, were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Say it with me. From now on, you're going to catch men. Now, this story is really powerful because it shows you that in order for God to do the miraculous in your life that he wants to, many times he has to destroy old ways of thinking that can hold you back. I'll give you an example, particularly in Scripture. If you talk to most people about the will of God or ask most people, do you believe God is able to heal you? Do you believe that God is able to prosper you? And most people will say, yes, I believe that. But it's only the ones who believe that and believe that God is not only able but willing and wanting to deliver you. That's the whole story of the leper that came to Jesus. He couldn't get healed until he understood that God was not only able, but was willing to help him. Now, I've been ministering to people a long time. I've seen people that get saved, they believe in God, but they're not always able to receive from God everything that is in their salvation. And it doesn't mean they're not saved. They're saved and they're on the way to heaven, but they're not cashing in on some of the blessings. And sometimes it's because they have counter beliefs, beliefs that work against the beliefs that bring the healing and the restoration in their life. Maybe they've been taught that God heals when he wants to heal, and sometimes he doesn't want to heal. And that belief itself will prevent them from moving forward into the things that God has for you. One of my favorite miracles in the Bible is the woman with the issue of blood. She, for 12 years, was tormented by this infirmity. But in the story, it's so great because Jesus hadn't talked to her, but she believed that God was not only able, but that he would heal her if he touched her. And you find that all through the Bible, some people need to be persuaded that he is willing, but the ones that knew he was willing always received from Christ. And so I want you to say this with me. God's not only able. Say it with me. He's not only able, but he's willing. And I think one of the illustrations in the Bible of how you can be free in Christ and yet still be bound by the old things in your life is the story of Lazarus. If you remember the story of Lazarus, Jesus speaks to, in the tomb, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus had been dead for 4 days. And somehow he stood in front of the tomb. I don't know if an angel just picked him up and stood there, but he was wrapped with funeral clothes and he couldn't move. And even though he was resurrected, he wasn't free yet. And Jesus said, loose him and let him go. I want to loose you today and let you go. Amen. I know most of you are free, but I want to loose you and let you go in the things of God so that God can begin to minister to you in a great way in your life. Now, let me just get real personal about this. One of the things I have, my whole Christian life I have done, is try to uncover the beliefs in my life that hold me back. Because they're in contradiction with the beliefs God's word says. And so you can try and try and try to cast out the doubt, but if you embrace a belief that is contrary to the word of God, you can miss out on what God wants for you. And one of the things that is an indication of this is this. I call it a holdup of belonging. Now, I don't know about your background, how you were raised with your family, whatever, but I know that some people, because of their past, you can put them in a situation of prosperity and they'll have this sense of not belonging in that place. Or you can take some people that get married and they just don't have this sense of belonging. They feel uncomfortable in the situation, and there's just something, you know, if you could put your finger on it, just say, well, I just don't have that sense of belonging. And it's usually because of one thing, a belief built into them in the past that they become familiar with, even if it may be painful. They become familiar with it, and it becomes a hindrance later when they serve Jesus. Because even though they ask God to make their family great, they destroy their family unconsciously by the things that they do. Even though they pray and they say, God, please bring my daughter back, bring my son back. And then when they come back, they unconsciously do things that drive their son and their daughter away. Or maybe it's the person that is asking God for increase in his life. And he's trying to do what he knows to do in the Word to do it. But unconsciously, he keeps doing the things that take his increase and rob him of it. It's something that happens, and that's why the Bible says things like this: therefore, if any man in Christ, he's a new creation, old things have passed away, all things have become new. But sometimes old things haven't passed away in your mental thinking. Sometimes in the way that you perceive things, it has not passed away. Sometimes in the way that you look at things, it has not passed away. And because of that, it becomes a hindrance, and you're unable to go to the level that God wants you to go to in your life, and you create your own troubles because you just are not comfortable with a great marriage because you were raised in an uncomfortable family. Or you're not comfortable with success because you've been taught how not to be successful, and you've learned to live with lack and this. And so even though I preach increase, Pastor, I'm trying, but I just don't believe, or I don't believe I belong here in this place. We're going to break that today. Can you say amen, everybody? Amen. You belong it with success. You belong with a great family. You belong, come on, to ride in high places. You belong to be more than conquerors. You belong to be, come on, a winner. You belong that in your life. But sometimes because of these defaulting beliefs, they block or they hold you back into the things that God would want you to do. It's kind of like living under a budget, and then an opportunity comes to buy more than what you would normally buy, and you say, well, I can't do that. I'd never spend that much. That's because you conditioned yourself in this one area, and it's preventing you from expanding yourself. But I believe that God wants us to get rid of the Egypt that's inside of us. You know, when God delivered Israel out of Egypt through Moses, we know they were delivered from slavery, but Egypt was still within them. We know that because of the fact that after he'd taken them out of the city, out of the slavery, what was the first thing they did? They built a golden calf. Where do you think the golden calf came from? Egypt. Sometimes Egypt's still inside of us. And we got to get out of Egypt outside of us. It was the reason why the first generation couldn't go into the promised land is they had Egypt inside of them. They wouldn't get rid of Egypt inside of them. And they didn't believe they were who God said they were. He said, you're the head, not the tail. You're above and not beneath. But they couldn't grab that because of these old beliefs that had been instilled in them for 450 years in their life. I want you to get out of poverty into abundance. Inside. Not just outside, but inside. I want you to get out of sickness on the outside, on the inside. I want you to get out of this perspective of a dysfunctional family on the inside and have a family that is functional, that loves God, that is blessed more and more as the day approaches. Oh, come on, church, come on. That's what I want to do. I want to get Egypt out of you. And the way that we do this is by moving past the things that hold us back, getting around it. Getting around the fact that you were abused as a child. Getting around the fact that you didn't have the right parenting that you needed. Getting around the fact that you've never had anyone help you. Getting around the fact that no one in your family's ever done it much more than what you've done. Bump your neighbor right now and say, I want you to listen to this because this is for you today. You're not going to work. You're not going to cooperate with me, are you? I'm telling you, this is,
what Christianity is about. It's about renewing your mind, and you can't renew your mind unless you raise the bar. If it's at the same level that you started at, all you do is educate yourself. You can only renew your mind when you raise the bar. Raise the bar of what God can do. Raise the bar of how He can bless you. Raise the bar of that. That's how you renew your mind in the things of God. Now, let me give it to you in a way that'll really help you to establish you, even though you may be troubled and may be going through some stuff right now in your life. How many know that sometimes we start badly? But just because you start badly doesn't mean you got to end badly. Can you say amen? Amen? Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10, or verse 8 says this. It says, the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which preaches. And then he says this. He says that if we confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, I wanted to preach that and say that for one reason. You're not saved because you climbed a mountain. You're not saved because you got your act together before you came to Jesus. You're only saved because you believe on Christ and you believe in His righteousness that has been imputed to you spiritually in your life. Now, what does that mean? It means that nothing that you can do in your life can take away what you receive through believing, because it didn't come because of something you do. It come because of something you believed. 1 Peter says this. It says that if you believe on Him, you shall not be put to shame. Say, put to shame. In other words, His righteousness in you, if you're born again, will always come out a winner at the end of the day. So what do you mean, always come out a winner? That's why when you talk about the judgment seat of Christ, you see God's people standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and all their works are judged, and those that were done with wrong motives or intentions, they're burned up by fire, but yet the person escapes as a man through fire. Why? Because his righteousness will win the day. Now, I'm telling you that right now because many of you have come out of a mess. Many of you put yourself into a mess. And I want you to understand that what you believed in Christ hasn't gone away. Eternal life hasn't left you. The ability to succeed hasn't left you. And the righteousness inside of you will always win the day. But what we need to do is begin to renew our minds in a way that we can begin to walk in the fullness of what God has for us instead of walking in this place of lack and insufficiency and the things that God has really not called us to in our lives. You know, in the story that we read, Peter had been fishing all night. And when someone fished in those days, they would always fish at night. So the fish couldn't see the nets. But they also would always fish in the shallows. Never in the deep, because the fish live in the shallows, not in the deep. So here Jesus uses his boat to preach on, which I love it. And afterwards, He uses it as a teaching tool and tells Peter, listen, I want you guys, I know you've been cleaning up your nets, which means they had given up. When you read that story and you see the fishermen cleaning the nets, it means that they gave up. It means that they've tried and they've given up. They're unable to catch any fish and they've thrown in the towel. They've given up. Some of you have given up. Say amen, everybody. You've given up on what God can do in your life. And you're just hanging around until He comes back. I'm telling you right now that God wants you to launch out into the deep. Not ankle deep, in the deep. He wants you to go for boat sinking, net breaking increase. He doesn't want you just to get the bills paid. He wants you to go for it. And I love the story because in the story, the apostles, or the Peter and John, they're not apostles yet, they had given up. They tried the best they could and they had quit. You know, you can quit and not look like you quit. Come on, ladies, you can put all your makeup on, have your nails done, fix your hair, and still quit on the inside. Guys, you can say the right thing, smile, and say there's nothing wrong and still be quitting on the inside. I want to challenge you today that some of you have quit in launching out into the deep. You've given up on it. God doesn't want you to do that. In fact, let me just say this. When someone gets a divorce and the papers are signed, listen to me. They didn't quit when the papers had been signed. They quit months and years earlier. They quit on the last Christmas. They quit, come on, they quit when they tried to have an anniversary. They'd quit long time before. The papers signing simply means it came to manifestation, but they had quit many, many years earlier. They'd quit on trying to make their marriage better. They'd quit on trying to become more Christ-like in that relationship. They'd quit on it. And what I'm telling you is God wants you to launch out into the deep. And it's easy to say, well, I tried. I did the best I could. I'm going to give you something that always becomes a holdup in your life. Anything that you find the need to justify not doing what God's will says to do becomes that justification. It's an appeals court that you have in your own mind toward yourself that convinces you that I don't need to do anything anymore. I tried, I did the best I could, and this is the reason why I'm not going anymore. This is why I'm not going to launch out anymore. This is why I'm not going to try anymore, because I'm justified in this. I'm justified. I should deserve a happy life. I should deserve this, and I can't do it with so-and-so. And so there's a justification that keeps you from going around whatever it is that is holding you back. I've seen it with business. I've seen it with careers. A disappointment here, disappointment there. Getting the raw end of the stick in some deal or whatever. And they justify, I tried it, I did this. And if God wanted to be that hard, he would have made it easier. And he just quit. I want you to get out and watch the nets and say, no, let's go back out. Let's let down the nets and let's do something that we had not done before. Let's not quit on our marriage. Let's not quit on our kids. The thing I've learned about faith is simply this. Whenever you have faith, there's never hopelessness. There's always hopelessness without faith, but never with faith, there's never hopelessness. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, or the assurance of things hoped for, or the security, or the certainty of things hoped for. That's what faith is. Whenever there's hopelessness, there's no faith. But whenever there's faith, hopelessness is gone, because you have a certainty that things are going to turn around, a certainty that you're going to get blessed, a certainty you're going to recover, a certainty of it. Hallelujah. But it's not going to happen in your life if you allow those mental barriers to create traffic jams in your mind, where they contradict what his word says. Don't tell me I can't do what God's word says. I don't care what it looks like, what it feels like, how big the mountain is. Don't tell me that. I'm not going to accept a belief that contradicts God's word. All things are possible to the one who believes. God can break the hearts of the hardest there is, and rescue them and bring them into a great blessing into their life. I want to give you a revelation, and this is found in Isaiah 43:18. It says this, it says, "Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." This is a revelation. How many know that when Job got blessed, his latter days were better than his former days? And his former days were good. Here's the revelation. Always expect things to get better the older you get, not worse. Always expect to be healthier and wealthier and wiser than you were in the beginning. Always expect your marriage to get better and better and better. Always expect God's favor to increase, not decrease in your life. And the key to this thing is this. He says, do not remember the former things. And he says this, nor consider. In the Hebrew, it means to give attention to something. If you give attention to all the mishaps in your life, you give power to them. If you give all your attentions to what God promises, you give power to them. What are you going to give attention to? Your mistakes, your failures, your past, your lack, your insecurity? Or are you going to raise up and say, no, I'm going to give attention to who I am right now in Christ. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I'm sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Greater is he that is in me. Hallelujah. Give attention to what will bring you forward in your life. Don't focus in on everything that is in the past. Focus in on what is in your future. Hallelujah. Now, here's what I've learned. That for every miracle you receive in your life, there's always going to be a storm that comes up. Remember the story in the Bible where Jesus tells his disciples, he says, listen, guys, let's go to the other side of the lake. Climbs up in the boat, takes a nap, falls asleep. Storm kicks up, and it's so bad that the disciples that are with him are afraid they're going to perish. They wake up Jesus. Don't you care, Master? We're going to drown. I'm paraphrasing, obviously. And Jesus said this. He said, where is your faith? Where did it go? And what did he do? Jesus got up, quieted the sea, and the storm went down. Listen, we're all going to have storms in our lives, whether we like it or not. And many of the things in our lives don't start with a storm. When you got married, it didn't start with a storm. It started with kisses and hugs. Amen. And when you had a baby, it started beautifully, beautiful little baby. It's until they get older and start pooping and all that stuff that there's problems. And then get older and they start thinking on their own. You never had that storm when you first had the child. Never had the storm when you decided, I'm going to go ahead and start going to the gym and getting in shape. It wasn't a storm. It was easy. I get my new dudes on, go there. There's no pain yet because you haven't gained anything yet. But the more you do it, the storms will come. Those days you don't feel good, you go anyway. Those days when you can't afford to pay for the payment for the workout, you pay it anyway. Or the marriage started out so good. She loved everything that I did. Now the list is getting smaller. Now she magnifies all my weaknesses, everything I do wrong. He doesn't pick up. He doesn't encourage me the way he should. If he cared about me enough, he would encourage me more. He wouldn't be fussing over getting my nails done. He doesn't have no idea how important nails are to a woman. Come on, ladies, say amen. Listen, here's the rule for parenting, for marriage. Buy your wife anything that won't hurt her if you can afford it. I don't care if it's a Corvette. If you can afford it, buy it for her. God gives me anything I want as long as I'm following him. So, am I only one here excited about what I just said? Ladies, you ought to be standing up and go, come on, Pastor, preach it. I believe that many things in our lives start out good, but then they end up in a storm. Now, here's the key that I want you to see. There was only one person on that boat that day that was steady in the storm. That was Jesus. If you can't get steady in the storm, that doesn't mean your boat isn't rocking. But if you can't personally get steady in the storm, you won't have the power to stop the storm. If Jesus had not been in that boat, it probably would have sank, and we would have had a different gospel with different disciples. But Jesus was in the boat, and he was steady in the storm. You say, how do you get steady in the storm? You just pull up your spiritual bootstraps, and you say in the name of Jesus, I'm going to hold to the word of God. I don't care how I feel. I don't care what it looks like. I'm going to give you praise, Lord, like you said. I'm going to be bold as a lion. I'm not going to retreat. Whether we go down or whatever, if I go down, I'm swimming under the water. I'm going to not give up. I'm not going to quit. I have the power of God working within me to bring to pass the blessings of God in our life. I want you all to stand up right now, if you would. Stand up like you're ready to launch out your boat. You're ready to get back into the fight, even though maybe you have retreated. Maybe you say you're back in the fight, but you're really not. Launch out into the boat. Hallelujah. When I was thinking about this illustration, I was thinking about what it takes to pass a car. Whenever you ever get in that traffic and you got some truck barely creeping along, or some mom with six kids in the van driving like a slug, and you want to get past them, but the question you have to ask yourself is this: how much time is it going to take me to get around them before the oncoming traffic comes? That's the big question. And then the other question, and this is the one I like: how much horsepower you got under that hood? Because if I'm driving my little pickup, I never pass anybody. It is so gutless. When I go up a hill, I got to open the door and push. So I never think about passing someone with my little pickup. Now, my BMW, no problem. Put the pedal to the metal, I'm around it within seconds. Amen, because I know what's under the hood. Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, Pastor, I don't know what's under my hood. Listen, God will give you the horsepower you need. For every promise, he increases the power. If you need a miracle in your marriage, he'll increase the power for it. So whatever, as soon as you decide you're going to go around it, as soon as you're going to get around that disappointment, as soon as you're going to get around that negativity, as soon as you're going to get around that miserable experience you went through, as soon as you get around that fear, as soon as you put it to the pedal and believe God, God will give you the horsepower to get around it, and you will come out of it with blessing and breakthrough in your life. And you're not going to miss out on it, praise God. See, here's the part I want you to see. The Bible says that the time is short. Why would God say that when it's been over 2,000 years? Because he wants you to know that the time in your life, you need to take advantage of it, and you need to get around the things that have been holding you back. Because the sooner you get around it, the sooner you're going to release God's blessing, and the sooner you're going to have an eternal reward, and the sooner your joy is going to be made full, and the sooner your family is going to be blessed, and the sooner more people will come to Christ, and the sooner, soon as you do that in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening today. For more messages like this one, check out our podcast, River app, and our website at theriver.church. We're the River, and we're doing life together.